Welcome to Pet Food Advisors. I'm Tracy Hotchner, a pet wellness advocate with a special interest in dog and cat nutrition, here to help you unravel the mysteries of pet foods so you can make thoughtful decisions about feeding your own dogs and cats. This show is a production of Pet Media, Inc., with opinions and information that are the sole responsibility of the expert guests who offer them. The Radio Pet Lady Network also produces the Dog Film Festival, which celebrates the love between dogs and their people and the rescue groups that bring them together, traveling across the country. You can find more information at dogfilmfestival.com. If you want to stay in the know when it comes to doing what's best for your pets, follow me on Facebook and Twitter. You'll find me at Tracy Hotchner. That's Tracy with an I-E. Have a pet-related question or comment? Post it on my page or tweet me. This show is made possible in part by Precious Cat Litter, owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian in Colorado, who has created innovative litters for the health of all members of the family, with low-dust litters that allow everyone to breathe easier. Precious Cat's newest health monitor litter has broken new ground by allowing people to find the early signs of kidney disease in their kitties and intervene before damage is done, prolonging the quality and length of a kitty's life. Well, I have somebody really special here on Pet Food Advisors, somebody who has been advising people about food for their pets for a very long time and basically created the whole idea of fresh human foods for dogs. A long time ago, it feels like a long time ago, Lucy Postens has just written the most wonderful book, Dog Obsessed, The Honest Kitchen's Complete Guide to a Happier, Healthier Life for the Pup You Love. Lucy, this is sort of like the cherry on top of the dog-friendly cake you've been baking ever since you created The Honest Kitchen, wouldn't you say?
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was an absolute joy to write. And yeah, we've been super happy to be able to launch it in the last couple of weeks.
Well, it's pretty fun for people to have this because it has lots of tips and lots of information about things even beyond food, because of course, those of us who are dog obsessed, the obsession goes to many parts of their life. But because this show is about advice to people about their dogs and what to feed them and what the ingredients are all about, I'd love to sort of turn the clock back to when I first met you and first learned about The Honest Kitchen, when you were truly and literally making this food for your own Rhodesian Ridgeback, who had food issues, and you were doing it in your own kitchen. So what was that year?
That was back in 2002.
Yes.
Yeah, I was struggling with some health problems that Mosey was dealing with, his chronic ear infections, and started doing a homemade raw food diet for him. And I couldn't believe the results and said to everyone, look at Mosey's ears, I think I cured them. And my husband said, look at our kitchen, I think you destroyed it.
Well, you know, what's kind of wonderful for people is that you've really paved the way for the idea of feeding food that not only doesn't look or act or come from the thinking process of commercially made dog food, particularly kibble, but that they were all ingredients that you would feed your family. I find myself that the Honest Kitchen ingredients are better than I feed myself because you're so careful about organic and about the sourcing and even knowing the source of the proteins and the kind of conditions that those animals live in before they become part of the food. That has always been your credo. For me, one of the interesting things about watching you grow from that lady who destroyed her kitchen but fixed her dog's ears to being a quite extraordinary company with many, many people. First, there were detractors, the people who said, what? And now the fact that you have the privilege of being copied by many other people, it's quite an arc. Did you ever wonder if this idea would be accepted by other dog lovers and dog owners? Did you ever doubt that your message about the ingredients and health and what to feed a dog would fall on deaf ears?
I don't think so. I think I always knew deep in my heart that if I made a good quality product, then it would eventually resonate with people. I certainly heard in the very early days that the food was ahead of its time. And I think because it's the dehydrated nature of it, the texture is very different from what people are used to when they think about pet food, kibble and cans.
Right.
And so a lot of people would be at trade shows and events and things, and people would say, what is this, cat litter? Because it just looks so different. So it was a little bit daunting, I guess, in the beginning, but I think I always just knew if it would make a positive impact on pet health, then it would hopefully spread by word of mouth, and that's ultimately what happened. I don't think I ever dreamed it would get quite as big and crazy and unwieldy as it has, but it's been an incredible journey and something I just love coming to work every day.
And you never stop thinking of new foods and new broths and new just ideas about how to get good nutrition into dogs and not just make them happy imbibing it, but make it really fun and interesting and satisfying and gratifying to the people. I remember that when I first learned about your food, I was researching the Dog Bible. First learned about it, I first tried it, and it looked like green oatmeal or porridge when you would rehydrate it, which is how it had to be fed. And then I'd still see slices of dried banana in there and pieces of cranberry. And I love when I'm rinsing the dog's bowls, they can't get every little speck. And sometimes there's these little perfectly diced pieces of carrot in there, these little teeny tiny, it looks like something that should decorate sushi or something. And I think, wow, that's just always been your idea, that the food should be lightly processed, barely processed. And that was a very unusual idea. I remember when I would first go around and do kind of talk sessions with people just to kind of shake them up about dog food and think about it differently. And lightly processed was an idea that was really strange. Dehydrated was an invention practically of yours. And then there was the raw. Now, you don't use that word much on your packaging or messaging anymore, but it's really important because the food is in its purest state, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I think we want to, our food is really sort of a bridge between raw and conventional, more processed pet food. And I think lightly prepared or gently prepared is really the way that we describe it. It's not truly raw in terms of literally being a carrot just like one you picked out of the ground, or a chicken that literally hasn't been cooked at all. Our meats and eggs and things go through a gentle steaming process just to kill any pathogens, and that's a requirement for the fact that they are human food grade, that our
right.
finished product has to be safe enough for a person to eat. And in fact, everything we buy is sourced directly from the human food supply chain. But all of our vegetables and fruits are dried at an incredibly low temperature, about 104 degrees. So in many people's opinions, those would still sort of be considered technically raw. But I think lightly prepared is probably the most accurate way of describing it.
And the interesting part about that, which I have learned subsequently as I've had my head inside so many dog bowls over the years, is that apparently, and it speaks to the fact that your food is very ground-looking, like very crumbly looking, is
yes.
that large chunks and pieces of vegetable, and maybe other things, but particularly vegetable, and Dr. Judy Morgan, who is very much a big home cooker with a crock pot and uses Chinese medicine theory, she has pointed out that dogs can't actually digest food unless it's really small and lightly change from its completely raw state. But the smallness of your pieces, is that to make it dehydrated more properly and more thoroughly? Or was it also, did you know this, that, you know, people whose dogs eat a big piece of carrot, well, that's nice, but apparently all the food value cannot be absorbed in their gut.
Exactly, yeah. We finely dice, particularly those root vegetables, things like the carrots and parsnip and things like that.
Right.
They get very finely diced to facilitate digestion. Well, our big focus is on our consumer, and in this case, the consumer is a dog or a cat. And even though the product visually doesn't look quite as appealing as if it were lots of nice big pieces
right.
of carrots and things like that in the box, and that there are other similar sort of products that do have much bigger pieces. But our focus is really on making sure that the product is suitable and optimal for the being that's going to eat it.
Which is something that people don't know. I mean, my sister just will take nice human frozen vegetables like peas and carrots, and then she puts it in the dog's dish, obviously defrosted.
Yeah.
And they're little teeny dogs. They're Brussels Griffins. And it's funny, of course, I don't know if this is true in your own family or extended family. She doesn't want to take my advice about anything. Only when there's a problem, she comes back, what did you say again? So
yeah.
there are these large chunks of that whole peas and fairly large, as if for human succotash kind of thing, carrot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that because people have gotten so used to feeding only processed food, or the people that want the pendulum to go the other way and they want a home cook, they don't actually know that there are a lot of requirements for what's the best way to deliver that food into your dog's mouth and gut so that it digests well and so they get all the food value. I don't think they know that much about human nutrition either, right?
That's fine. Yeah, it's right. I mean, nutrition, pet food and nutrition is incredibly overwhelming for a lot of people.
Yes.
It's really hard to try and make a decision about what to do and what to feed your pet. And some people do end up researching it to the end of the earth and come to us as a much more informed consumer. But for the most part, people are sort of overwhelmed and they often just do what their vet said or do what their friend said. Or just end up buying something in a shop because somebody told them to. And so it is overwhelming, but we try to do our best to sort of explain every decision we make and the reason for it and why we do things a certain way. And certainly the finely diced veggies is a part of that, and it's part of our job to explain why we do that.
Right, because otherwise, as you say, it would look more magazine friendly.
Exactly,
if you could see what all the things were. I mean, once in a while I will catch, the view of that sliced dried banana. And I'm like, hello, banana. And, it's interesting because my dogs actually, they're not big eaters of things that haven't been rendered for them in some way. I mean, they don't eat pieces of raw vegetable. They'll only eat pieces of raw broccoli. And then, of course, it has to be the floret, not the stem. And you'd think that I had Yorkshire Terriers. They're huge Weimaraners that bound around at 100 pounds. But I've discovered that the way that I feed them the Honest Kitchen food is I give it to them separately, almost like a smoothie. Mm. So I give it to them not mixed with any of the other things like some kibble, which I still feed because they have huge appetites and they're in that highly active range of dog, like really active. About 6 hours a day they're running kind of nonstop, but they don't like it in with that. They like it separately. And I don't know if you've found people asking you that, how shall I give it if I'm going to give it as part of the meal? Because you've always been very unjudgmental or critical or greedy in a sense. You never say you can only feed my food and nothing else. You say, take this and add some of your own protein or vegetables, or if you wish, some more commercial pet food. But I found that they really like it by itself. Is that just strange to my peculiar girls, or is that true of other dogs?
Certainly we have many customers who do feed the food exclusively, whether it's full-time, whether the Honest Kitchen is 100% of their dog's total diet, or whether it's, one exclusive meal of Honest Kitchen and then another meal of something else like kibble, perhaps in the morning and Honest Kitchen at night or something along those lines. But we really do have a very flexible approach, and I think one of the things that we tell people that really helps to resonate and to connect the dots in their mind is to think of our food as being something like a superfood smoothie or a cold-pressed juice. It's a way to supplement your dog's meals. Even if you aren't able to feed it exclusively, they can still reap a huge benefit from at least having some minimally processed, colorful food in their diet.
And colorful is a big part of it because, in people – one used to say this about men, but now, of course, it would be sexist to say it, but that men like meat and potatoes, nothing green, nothing orange, nothing red, nothing, purple. But I think that the color is where so much of the vitamin is.
Exactly, the phytonutrients, the pigments that give vegetables and fruits their beautiful colors are more than just pigments. They really are phytonutrients, which are antioxidants that have a really powerful effect on a number of different elements of health, whether it's the eyes or the heart or the way that cells communicate with each other, which is important for cancer prevention and recovery. I think phytonutrient research is one of the most exciting areas of nutrition research that's going on in the world today. And there's a study by that was done at Purdue University that showed that just incorporating 10% fresh whole foods into a pet's diet can have a really dramatic positive effect on their total health and reduce the risk of cancer. So
isn't that interesting that the mainstream veterinary research would look at that? Not a surprise to you and me and others who were very interested in feeding sort of brilliant foods, but interesting that they looked into that. Who knows what they really expected to find? Although, of course, good research should be you shouldn't have an expectation, but of course there's curiosity, right?
Yeah, for sure. There was a great TED talk by a gentleman by the name of Rodney Habib, called Why Don't Dogs Live Forever, and he did a good job
my,
of explaining
love
the results
to. I'll put
of this.
I'll put a link to the TED Talk
yeah.
in with this podcast. So people,
okay.
is it good?
It's a good one, yeah. He'd make a great guest for your show as well. He's a Canadian pet food retailer, actually.
No kidding.
And very outspoken on the subject.
I guess he loves The Honest Kitchen, I'm guessing.
I hope so.
I imagine he would be a big fan. There are so many delightful things in Dog Obsessed, and I know you're going to come back, and we're going to have several conversations about it. But one of the fun things are the recipes that utilize some of your foods and then add other things to it. So that they're not just, I find a lot of recipe books for dogs that say, well, just make chicken pot pie, and you have some, and the dog will have some. It's like, that's not really the point.
Right.
I mean, you know, yeah, you can give your dog some chicken pot pie every so often, but it's more the feeling, I think people want that connection to be making something for their dog that's really for the dog, that's really good for the dog. Looks good, smells good, tastes good, but it's really good for them in that way you're talking about, like a superfood. So I like the way that you've come up with the idea of using muffin pans and using some of your foods and then adding nice things, turkey, cheddar, pitted cherries. I love you say mascarpone or cream cheese. It's like, really, you could have mascarpone. But, you know, there are people for whom that is really a delight. I met a marvelous man, a very, very philosophical, intellectual rabbi once at a dinner party. And he had he has a dog that he adores, and he'd been feeding it commercial dog food, and he was tortured about it. I mean, just like morally tortured. He thought, this can't be right. This can't be right. Just this dry stuff in a bag. This is what the vets are saying. This is what I'm reading, but it can't be right. And when he learned that he could cook for his dog, he was so excited and so happy, and it gives him great joy and pleasure. So I think that other people might try to embrace that. I think that Dog Obsessed gives you a chance to do some cooking. It doesn't have to be all the cooking. But it feels really good to be able to make a duck and orange cupcake, for example. I mean, it can pretty much just open the book anywhere. And, you know, it's so fun.
Because it is, yeah.
You could feed it to your family, too. You could feed it to your human family, I mean, which is sort of funny to some people, but it's true.
Yeah, there are a selection of recipes, mostly treat recipes, that use one of our foods as a base. It's sort of a bit like a Betty Crocker cake mix, using our food, and then you can crack an egg in there and add some extra ingredients and then roll them into little meatballs or make a loaf that you could slice up into small training treats and things like that. And then there are about a dozen recipes that are literally make from scratch with 100% of your own ingredients that you can actually share with your dog, and they're sort of thought out. Some of them have portions you would feed a certain portion to the dog, and then you might make a sauce with some mushrooms and white wine and cream to add to your portion, and then wine pairings, which are kind of fun
so
for the
hilarious.
Human portion as well.
It's
yeah.
so funny. This book is so delightful, beautiful looking, as all of the artwork on all your products is. It's just joyful. There's just a joyfulness about the book, a joyful look to it. It's marvelous. I look forward to you coming back, Lucy, and talking more about some of these fun recipes and describing them, but also about the theories behind really good ingredients for dogs. So Dog Obsessed, The Honest Kitchen's complete guide to a healthier, happier life for the pup you love and for yourself and the rest of your family. Lucy, is it a great accomplishment? I'm sure there's many more tricks up your sleeve nutritionally coming soon. So we look forward to hearing them.
Thank you very much. Yeah, excited to tell you about them.
This show has been brought to you in part by Spot Platinum, an allergy test for which elements in your dog's environment or diet may be causing his scratching or licking. Spot Platinum can detect allergies for which they can make a USDA-approved serum custom tailored to your dog's specific needs to control his symptoms. Spot Platinum is a privately owned company that has done more than 500,000 allergy tests over 25 years. For more information, visit them on the web at vetallergy.com. Support for this show also comes from VaxaCheck, a simple test done right in your vet's office to discover whether your dog or puppy is protected from the deadly core diseases or needs revaccination. Shelters can use VaxaCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones and avoid unnecessarily over-vaccinating dogs. VaxaCheck, for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxaCheck for cats is coming soon.